Thank you, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to Bank of India's Q2 FY24 conference call. I would like to thank all of you for taking out time today and joining us. We have with us Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, MD and CEO, Shri P. R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Dasgupta, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, Shri Subrat Kumar, Executive Director, and other top management team from Bank of India. For now, we have placed all microphones on mute. At the end, during the Q&A session, we will be sending you a request to unmute yourself in order to ask questions. I will take you through this process before the Q&A session. However, please note the management will continue to remain unmute throughout the session. I would now request Shri Rajneesh Karnatak to address this gathering. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Kajal. Good afternoon to all the dignitaries, ladies and gentlemen present in today's analyst meet. It is my pleasure to welcome you all for the interaction. Post-publication of the financial results of the bank for Q2 of FY23-24. Amidst different uncertainties grappling the global economy, another turbulence surfaced in the form of Israel-Hamas war in the Middle East. A rare trinity of factors that is soaring crude oil prices, surging U.S. bond yields, and hardening U.S. interest rates have emerged as proximate risks to the global growth and stability, posing significant macroeconomic challenges to the emerging markets. Global trade conditions to face significant headwinds with expectation of decline in growth in world trade volume from 5.1% in 2022 to 0.90% in 2023, as reflected in the IMF recent projections. However, macroeconomic outlook for FY24 is bright due to resilience in economic activity on the back of strong domestic demand, increased government spending, improved industrial capacity utilization, and modernization in headline inflation. The buoyancy in credit growth continues, whereas deposits are seen growing at a lesser pace than credit in the system. Against this prevalent optimism, the bank is focusing on sustainable advance growth and garnering low-cost deposits along with retail term deposits. The aim is new customer acquisition and retention of existing customers. The maintenance of asset quality and NPA management is of paramount importance, with containment of slippages and reduction in SMA. On digitization front, a new mobile app under the name BOI Mobile Omni Neo app has been launched with attractive features. A new credit card variant under RuPay scheme, RuPay Select, has been introduced. A new innovative debit card made from 100% recycled plastic named BOI Earth Smart Debit Card has been launched. Pre-approved personal loan, BOI PAPL, to existing customers has also been started. Other new initiatives taken are in formation of 18 emerging corporate credit branches to cater to the corporate needs in their specific area of operation, MOU with REC Limited to co-finance rupees 30,000 crore worth of projects in power, infra and logistics sectors over the next 5 years. Star Channel Finance Scheme has been revamped at par with the peer banks. MOU with WDRA for financing ENWR to boost the growth of agriculture sector. Integration of our loan management system, LMS, e-platform, with Jan Samarth portal, WhatsApp banking solution introduced to provide additional channel to the customers and assessing different banking services. Launching of NPA management solution, a dashboard made available to branches to facilitate better management of NPA portfolio, besides many more other initiatives. We have published the shared financial results of the bank for Q2 FY24 on 4/11/23. I am not repeating the numbers for brevity's sake. I understand that you must have all seen our presentation, the analyst presentation, which is already there on the public domain. We expect credit growth of 11-12% during the current year, though there will be pressure on NIM in the subsequent quarters. But by increasing yield on advances through RAM and corporate, we aim to maintain the NIM above 3%. With the bank's consistent focus on improving asset quality via better underwriting and containing fresh slippages, we We expect gross NPA ratio to be contained below 6% level and credit cost to be around 0.60%. We will continue to strive towards better customer experience, asset quality, sustainable growth, and a strong bottom line. Thank you so much. The floor is now open for questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. As mentioned, we would now like to open the floor for the question and answer session. Participants, you will notice a small icon on your screen, a hand sign. Once you press this, it will alert us that you would like to ask a question. We will go around one by one. The analyst asking the questions will be unmuted. You will get a notification on your screen to unmute yourself. Kindly click on unmute, identify yourself before asking the question. Just a humble request, each participant, if you could restrict to three questions. If we have more time, we will come back to you once you join back the queue. As soon as someone presses a hand sign to ask a question, we will enter the conference and announce the participant in this way. The first question we have from Mr. Ashok Ajmera. Over to you, sir. Yes, Ashok, sir. Over to you.
Good afternoon to you all, sir. And compliments for a, a good quarter because there were certain headwinds and as you also narrated that so many problems, global turmoil, you know, war and everything. In spite of that, our results are good. Operating profit is almost equal to the last quarter only. Net profit has slipped little bit. But then on the whole, it's a good result. My first question is on, sir, a little bit of clarification. Last time also we had discussed that our net profit, you know, it is as compared to the profit before tax become very low because of the higher tax element which is provided in P&L. I'm not talking about actual tax payment, but because of maybe DTL or DTA or whatever it is. But if you look at the total profit, it is 5,865 crore in the 6 months. And the provision is 2,855 crore total. So it eats away our actual book profit, you know, this thing. So some explanation on that, that why this tax amount is so high as compared to the profit, which is almost, I think, you know, 50, more than 50% of the profit.
Yes. So thank you, Ajmera ji. Should I answer your first question or you will complete all the three questions?
Sir, I have a couple of other points and for discussion, basically just to get your views on. One is that, sir, you had launched a, you know, that town hall concept and the outreach. And I think you said in the last meeting that 13 NGVs and all the EDs and, you know, GMs were asked to go out and out on the field, and it has brought some good results also because our credit growth is good in the last quarter. So going forward, are we keeping the same target of 11-12%, or you feel that with that, you said last time that our your corporate pipeline was 40,000 crore, your sanctions were 30,000 crore. So all these are resulting into better credit growth. So would you like to revisit that, or we stand there only? This is the something on credit growth. Third is on treasury. Like as you say that because of the international problems and everything, now the yields are going to be hardened there, and it may have the impact here also. So how much cushion do we have in our AFS, our treasury books, and how much are we insulated? Or are we going to get any shock on that front? This is the third thing which I would, and then time permit, then I've got some specific questions also.
Yeah, thank you, Ashok ji. To begin with your first question with regarding to net profit. So as you rightly said, our net profit pre-tax net profit this time is 2,937. If you see our numbers for June, it was 2,928. In a way, it is flat. But if you see our final net profit, so which was 1,551 crores in June, it is now at 1,458. So the reason for the reduction in net profit is also, as you rightly observed, also was the taxation. So what we have done in this quarter is that we have shifted to the new tax regime. Because of the shifting of the new tax regime to the new tax regime, there has been some accounting treatment because which the taxation number is higher on this quarter. So in this quarter, the total tax which we have done is 1,479, which is 50, nearly 50% of the pre-tax profit of 2,937. So that is the simple reason. Now that we have shifting to the new tax regime, we'll be like charging taxation at the 25% rate instead of the 35% rate which was there earlier. So that benefit bank will get. That is one big change which we have come to for the shifting of the new tax regime. So if you see the September 22 numbers, our pre-tax profit was 1,462 and our net profit was 960 crores. So if you see the YOY growth in the net profit, it is 52%. And if you see the YOY growth on the profit before tax, it is 101%. So these are the basic numbers. And further, if you compare the H1 of FY23 with H1 of FY24, the increase in pre-tax profit is 152% and the increase in net profit is 98% on the H1 basis. So this is the number which we have. So the profitability part, we are quite comfortable. And with shifting of the new tax regime, this will another help in the final overall profit for the bank. As
But
regards our
sir,
strategy.
sorry to interrupt you, sir, but in the next two quarters now of the financial year, is it going to be the, I mean, because we are looking at the whole year for income tax. So whether I mean this high tax impact will be there in the remaining two quarter also?
No, that will
Correct.
not be there. As I told you, Ashok ji, in the ensuing quarters of December and March, we will not be at the high tax regime.
Okay, sir. Point taken, sir. Continue, sir.
Yeah. So as regards our credit growth and other initiatives which we have taken for the credit growth, yes, our town hall meeting concept remains. Already the zones and our NBGs, which are field GM office, have been allocated to the executive directors, to all the chief general managers and the general managers. And we are regularly moving to the field, all of us together, general managers, CGMs, EDs, and myself. We are all moving towards the field simultaneously. We are visiting zonal offices. We are visiting the NBG field offices and meeting the not only the staff but the customers also, and trying to understand their problems, feedback, taking some feedbacks, and also taking some policy and procedural changes wherever they are required. So as far as that is concerned, in this interim quarter, what we have done is we have also opened, as you know, that three startup branches we have opened. We have also now opened 18 emerging corporate credit branches, which are in centers other than the LCB branch centers. So that also we have started. In there, our focus is rupees 10 crores and above fresh advances, up to 250 crores. And if any other advance above that is there, also these emerging corporate credit branches can take care of that. So that another initiative we have taken in this quarter, that is something there. Apart from that, few initiative others I have already read out in my opening speech. As regards the credit growth number, the guidance which we have given earlier is 11 to 12% of overall credit growth. That number continues for the simple reason that we want to protect our NIM in this increasing interest rate scenario. So we are, as I told you earlier also, we are leaving certain transactions which are repo based for long term because they will not be yielding much on the NIM side, and net interest income we need to protect. So for that simple basic reason, we want to keep our guidance at 11 to 12%, and we are confident that the credit guidance of 11 to 12% of credit growth we will achieve. To give you just one more number, we have our credit pipeline of nearly 70,000 crore as we speak today, out of which around 14,000 crore is the RAM pipeline, which is retail, agriculture, and MSME. We have certain pipeline in the international book also, and the remaining is the corporate credit pipeline, which we have of around 50,000 crores as we speak. The pipeline includes, number one, the sanctions which we have already given, where the documentation is executed and where the drawdown has started taking place. Number two, where sanction is given, where the documentation is yet to take place. And third is the numbers pipeline, where we have given the in principle approvals and where the proposals are in different stages of preparation and sanction. So overall, we are very confident that there will be credit growth, and with the busy season now kicking in for this quarter Q3, so the numbers will definitely be looking better in the quarter ended December on the credit side. So as regards to treasury, I would request our General Manager Treasury, Shashi, to take this question.
Good afternoon, Ajmera ji. Your question was that what kind of cushion we have in our AFS portfolio.
Yes, sir.
I would like to say that for the month of September, my SLR portfolio did not have any MTM losses. It was, in fact, positive. So up to 725 levels, we do not have any issues because the closing of September was 7.21. So we were plus. And the modified duration, as shown in the slide, is 2.87 for the AFS portfolio of 47,001. That translates to a PV01 of 13.5. And we do not expect much of a hit, even if it goes to around 750 or 745 levels. But practically speaking, we expect the rates to moderate, yield to moderate at these levels. Somewhere between 720 to 730 should be the level which we should be seeing by 31st of December.
Sir, any specific reason for the modified duration to go up to 2.87 as compared to 2.37 in the last quarter, sir?
Yeah, the reason for that is that internally we have held a view that the interest rates are nearing peak or more or less reached the peak. So this is the time for us to increase the duration, and that is why you are seeing the M duration moving up from 2.37 to 2.87. So it's a conscious call, and we would like to encash once the rates come down.
Sir, if you permit me, can I take one question on recovery, sir? We have a smart recovery in this quarter in the return of account as well as the cash recovery also of 1,455 crore. So, sir, little more light if we can get on the entire process of the recovery through NARCL, through NCLT, and what is going to be the next two quarters scenario as far as the overall recoveries are concerned, sir?
So on the recovery side, Ashokji, if you see the data, we have done cash recovery and upgradation in this quarter of 1,638 crores. Yeah. So if you include the return off also, so the total reduction in the NPA book was 2,876, against which our fresh slippage plus debits in the existing NPA, that is the total addition, was only 1,650 crores. So we were able to net-net reduce our NPA by nearly 1,200 crore net-net. So that is one number which we already have. So as regards NCLT is concerned, in NARCL, two accounts were given to the NARCL. And as regards NCLT accounts, two, three accounts also there was there in NCLT, wherein the recovery took place in this quarter, in the Q2 of FY24. So that is the number. And for the field, we have given a target, though whatever the slippage, fresh slippage we have, of that, the double, we should do the recovery and the upgradation. That is the number we have given to the field for as a target. So that is the number we are chasing for the H2 of FY24. So another important point on the asset quality, Ajmera ji, just I would like to state is that our SMA numbers, if you see our SMA slide, so SMA number has come down above 5 crore SMA from 14,000 crore plus to 5,700 crores. So that is a substantial reduction in the SMA book which we have had. So as far as asset quality percentage of standard advances to SMA above 5 crore is concerned, it is only 1.24%. And yes, further, if you see granular, so the SMA 2 number is only 0.24% of the total standard book. So that is number wherein we are very confident that we will be able to maintain our asset quality, and the overall SMA numbers in this ensuing half year will be coming down substantially. And this is at the backdrop of the fact that we have started our zonal collection centers in the 69 zones, wherein the zonal staff is now moving to the branches and also meeting the customers for collection. So overall efficiency in the system, collection efficiency has improved, number one. And number two, what we have started in this quarter is the e-nudge mandates. So each e-nudge mandate, especially in the retail loans, has helped the bank substantially. And with this, we see that there is a substantial reduction as far as the SMA number in the retail book is concerned. So these two things will help the bank in maintaining the asset quality and further reducing the slippages in the coming quarter of December and March.
Sir, we made good profit of selling to ARC. Are we continuing with that OTS or sale of ARC rather than, relying on the other thing like going to NCLT and all that?
Ashok ji, see, considering the book, the NPA book we have, so it's a holistic thing which we are doing. We are trying to do some transactions through ARCs. If it is making any sense to us, where the sacrifice is low, if through the ARC sale our sacrifice is less, definitely we will sell those assets through ARC. NCLT is another option which is always there wherever the resolution under NCLT comes. And we have also launched four very aggressive OTS scheme in the bank, which includes OTS for the written off accounts, for the accounts which we already have written off. So all these things put together, we are very confident that the recovery in the ensuing half year H2 of FY24 will be quite robust.
Thank you very much, sir, for giving very elaborate, satisfying answers. I'll come back again and all the best to you.
Thank you,
Thank
sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Marsan. Over to you, sir.
you. Kya naam?
So I repeat, the next in line is Mr. Marsan. Over to you, sir.
Marsan. Yeah.
Sir, you may re accept the unmute option and proceed. Sir, we'll come back to him. Moving up next, we have a query from Shizwa. Over to you.
Hello. Sorry, am I audible?
Yes, please
Yeah, you are
proceed.
audible.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much. I'm Zhixuan from Schonfeld. Sorry, I joined late. Just want to double check. Did we move to a new tax regime, and is the new tax regime 25% tax from the next quarter onwards?
New tax regime. Yeah, you want clarification on the new tax regime?
Yeah, so, is it from next quarter onwards our tax rate will be 25%?
25%. Yeah, in the new tax regime, we will be getting taxed at the rate of 25% as against 35%, which is there presently.
Okay, so we have done all the adjustments in the deferred tax assets, and next quarter we can expect a 25% tax rate. Is that right, sir?
Yes. Yes, the accounting treatment on the deferred tax assets will be given in this financial year. So
Got
as
it.
on 30th September, we have already done.
Got it,
So this
sir.
has been
So,
clarified by the CFO that this tax implication of DTA has already been done on 30th September.
And notes to accounts 24 we have given also. In our notes to accounts in 24 we have clarified also, please.
got it, sir. So, if I adjust for, if I look at this quarter's numbers, right, and then if I use a 25% tax rate, our return on assets is somewhere close to 1% already. So, just wondering, going forward, what kind of ROA should we expect? Do we think that we can sustain this kind of near 1% ROA with a new tax rate?
Yeah. So as far as the return on asset is concerned, if you see our numbers, our ROA was 0.47% in September 22, which has now improved to 0.67% in September 23. If you see on a half year basis, it was 0.38 in FY September FY 23, and now for the half year it is 0.68. So both ways it has improved by 30 basis point in half year numbers and by another 30 points similarly on the half year of this YOY number. So that is there. So as regards the guidance on the ROA is there, so it should be at around 0.70% annualized basis in FY 24.
Got it. So, that 0.7 annualized basis, that's assuming the new tax rate, or does it adjust for new tax? So what am I trying to get at is, if I look at this quarter's number, if I just change the tax rate, it seems to be close to 1%, but our guidance is, somewhere closer to 0.7. Just wondering, what's the pressure on the ROA from here?
Yeah, so it will be at least 0.70. This is what we are saying from the management side. So it would be minimum 7.0.70. This is what we are saying.
Got it, sir. Yeah, that's all for me. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next in line, we have Mr. Sushil C. Choksey. Over to you, sir. Sushil, sir, you may proceed.
Of India team. So you asked, answered most of my questions, but I would refer to your opening statement where you had a little doubt on the treasury outlook. But looking at the Fed statement in the current week and the bond market today, don't you think that India rates also will have a different outlook in coming days?
No, it was not a negative outlook, Sushil ji, on the treasury side, but only we trying to clarify the market situation which is there. See, the hardening of interest rate which has taken place in US and Europe, number one, and the tight liquidity position which is there in India. So even today, if you see the data, the liquidity was negative by around 75,000 crores, right, Shashi? So that was the number yesterday. So there is always tightness here presently in the market. So that is what we are trying to say. If you see the T-bill rate, if you compare the T-bill rate in India 1 year to the US bill rate, so if the differential as on March 22 was 1.3%, it has come down to 1.75% as on 31st March 23. And if you see the differential between the repo rate and the Fed rate, September 22, it was 242 basis point. Now it has come down to 117 basis point only in September 22, the differential between the repo and the Fed rate. So this differential coming down, what it will do is that the margins on the forex arbitrage that have reduced significantly for all the banks in India. So the incomes which the banks were making by forex arbitrage, that arbitrage is not much there as on date with the books of the treasuries. So that is one indication which I wanted to give in my opening statement because of the tightening liquidity situations here in India and the lowering of the gap between the Fed rates and the Indian rates.
Noted, sir. Second thing, sir, based on all your recoveries and measures for credit, your performance may be sounding a little conservative at 11%, but based on number of sanctions you've done, plus retail business, you are putting lot of trust that growth happened. Digitization you've already initiated, and the current management has already spent 6 months of time together almost. So based on all the fundamental factors which are being put in place, are we being conservative or you would rather beat the guidance with a better performance?
So, Sushil ji, it is always better to beat the guidance, right? For
Yeah,
any
I agree
management,
with you. I
right?
agree with you.
So, see, fundamentally, why we are saying 11 to 12% is that we are very much cognizant, as I have been telling in all my analyst meet, that we want to protect our margins, we want to protect our net interest income. So, as I told earlier, also we are losing or we are leaving some of the deals wherein the rates are repo rate or where the margins are very low. So we are trying to shift our book towards the mid-corporate section, AAA rated borrowers where the margins are low. We are shedding some of the advances because of the repayment happening more, we are just able to get an accretion in the credit and the credit growth we are targeting at a 11 to 12%, which we are giving. So this is the kind of scenario which is there because of the we are protection of the NIM which we want to give. So as you are already aware, the 1 year T-bill, you are aware at 7.15%, OIS at 1 year is also at 6.84%, CD going at 7.7%. If you see the CP for the NBFC for 1 year, it is more than 8%. In this scenario, some of the AAA corporates still are asking at interest rate which is around 7%, 7.25%, 7.5%. That is a rate which we do not want to give. So we are leaving some of the transactions which are there in the market in AAA, which are very fine rate and which may create negative margins in the coming years in the long run. So that is why we are giving a guidance which is 11 to 12% with a healthy NIM and a good asset quality.
Sir, noted. Second thing, sir, on credit cost, what is your outlook at the year end?
So credit cost, if you see our credit cost, which was at 0.6% in September 22, it had gone up to 0.79 in March 23. So in Q1, we had brought it down to 0.64. Now in this quarter, it is 0.54 only. If you see the half year now, it has improved to 0.58. This is the credit cost which is there at present. So for as far as the guidance is concerned, so we would be keeping it within 0.60 levels.
So my last question, in current round, would you raise equity in current year or you will wait based on your current focus?
So as far as the equity is concerned, we will be raising equity of around 2,500 crores in this quarter itself. So that process is already on. So we have already taken board approval, as I had told last time also, for 4,500 crores to bring down the Government of India equity to within 75%, which is the SEBI requirement also, for which our date is 1st August 2024. In this quarter, we'll be raising 2,500 crores.
Thank you, and all of you, Bank of India team.
Thank you, Sushilji.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, sir. Sir, next in line, we have Preeti. Ma'am, over to you.
Preeti.
Yes, Preeti ma'am, please proceed.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Go ahead.
My question is on OPEX for retail loans. Would you please share the steps taken to decrease the OPEX?
Steps taken to decrease the OPEX?
Yes.
Yes. So we have centralized many of the activities which are there on the asset side and the liability side, and also on the control system side. So this is some very significant activity which we have done to contain the OPEX. As far as our on the asset side, if you see our credit underwriting in retail, MSME and agriculture, there are now credit underwriting centers where the entire underwriting is taking place. So branches are only sourcing now the applications to these underwriting centers, and these underwriting centers where compact team of credit officers is there, they are doing the underwriting, because of which there is no more volume happening at few credit officers over there. So the OPEX has improved as far as the RAM credit is concerned, which is typically retail, agriculture and MSME. If you see the corporates, there also we have done the concentrated the number of branches. So we have 10 large corporate branches and 18 emerging corporate credit branches, where our proposals with respect to corporate credit will be handled. So there also we have created a specific team who will be handling the entire corporate credit book, these 28 branches. As regards the NPA, we have already have 18 ARBs, asset recovery branches, where we have transferred the entire NPA book of 50 lakhs and above. Another 10 ARB branches will be opening in this quarter. So there will be 28 ARB branches, which will be now concentrating on the 80%, around 80 to 85% of the NPA book of the bank. So with all these measures, the most of the underwriting, number one, and most of the recovery actions, which we are now concentrating with at around 400 offices in the bank, rather than 5,100 branches. With this lot of OPEX conservation of expenses, we oversee. And as regards to the retail side also, similarly on the liability side, we are taking care of that also. And earlier, most of the branches were accepting bulk deposits. Now we have reduced the number of bulk deposit taking branches to only around 100 plus. So that also we have reduced. And other things also we have done on as regards to the audit side also, the number of audit offices which are there, the number of officers who are doing audit, we have all centralized and kept at one places, through which we are trying to control the OPEX. That is one part.
Good.
The next part is with respect to the digitization. So a lot of journeys with respect to the asset and liability, now we are taking through the digitization process. So sanctions are happening, fresh sanctions are happening through the digitization process, number one. Saving accounts are also getting opened through the digital channel, number two. And number three, on the asset side, the renewals in case of Mudra loans and other loans, MSME loans, and even the agri loans, that is taking place through the digital channel. So a lot of staff at the field level is getting freed because of this digitization exercise, and lot of OPEX is getting freed, and lot of OPEX expenses in the ensuing quarters will be coming down because of all these actions which we have taken in the last 6 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Fine.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the question from the line of Mr. Mundra. You may proceed, sir. Mr. Mundra, you may proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
please proceed.
We can hear.
Yeah. So my first question, while continuing this last question itself, it's like the MD sir has mentioned like a very good action taken regarding this cost optimization and centralizing a lot of efforts. But we need to see it in terms of saving. Unfortunately, in the PPT, the list of the PPT, there is no slide which shows about our strength, about our head count. Generally, all big corporates give, all banks give, okay, that how is the head count faring? We have only one slide which says about branches. So I can see that during this quarter, 5 branches we have added. What should have been done? We all understand that employee cost is going up. We all understand that we have made 189 crore rupees provision because of the employee increment, whatever coming as per the as per the agreement with the as per agreement to be entered with the union. I'm not saying this one. We cannot just reduce salary. I'm not asking reducing salary. What we must do, considering the centralizing, good centralizing effort already taken by your bank, plus digitization, I think we need to free the I think we need to utilize this free employee for the new assignment. Like whenever you open any branch or like in our subsidiary or joint venture, we need to depute them there so that our cost reduce, because we can see that our employee cost has drastically increased. So how and when it's going to be we can see it in the P&L number. Similarly, is there like our other expense also increased by 70 crore as we compare to the corresponding quarter of last year. So can you please explain on this one, that going forward can we have this slide on the headcount also in the PPT, and also that how effectively or how many headcount we already utilize for other jobs or for other assignment during the this quarter.
Yeah, as regards increase in the staff cost, let me clarify that there has been no drastic increase in the staff cost, number one. If you see the whatever the increase in the staff cost is there for Bank of India, that is in line with the industry numbers. Industry, typically, if you see the public sector numbers and the increase in staff cost in the public sector banks, it is in line with that. It is not beyond that. It is well within that. That is number one thing which I would like to state, clarify over here. Number two, as regards the wage revision which is there, so the last 11th bipartite settlement which happened, that was at a load factor of 15%. Against that load factor, we have already started making provisions in each quarter. So we are making a provision, keeping that base at 15%, we have started making the provisions. That is the second part. Number three, if you see the channels for delivery for us, for customer service and otherwise, 5,157 is only the number of branches. Beyond that, we have 8,000 plus ATM and CRM machines, and also 18,000 plus BCs. So these are the total points from where we are giving the customer service. So when we say that we have done centralization of many of our activities, both on the asset side, the liability side, and also on the control and the support side, the staff which is getting freed at the branches and other offices, they are now being getting utilized for marketing more products. Number one, for garnering more saving accounts, for more current accounts, for retail term deposits. If you see the overall balance sheet of the bank and see the total, the liability side of the bank, only 12% of our total deposits is bulk deposit. And 88% of our deposit is CASA deposit or retail term deposit. That is the biggest asset for the bank, and this is the strength of Bank of India. Out of which 44% of our deposit is CASA deposit. So the branches, the staff at the branches are giving customer service. The staff which is free at the branches because of the underwriting, they are giving better customer service. They are marketing all kinds of products, which includes loan products, which includes deposit products, which include third party products like selling of mutual fund, insurance and other things. And we are very cognizant of the fact that we have to improve the customer service, increase our customer base. Already we have a 11 crore customer base in the bank. So for catering to this large customer base which we have, these number of staff are required at these branches, and all these channels are there for utilizing those services. Thank you.
Sir, thank you for this reply. And what I'm requesting, and what it should be ideally as a professional corporate approach, we need to see this thing in terms of delta, that how many staff were relieved from their existing assignment, existing job, and like to which new job they were reassigned, and how many hiring of new headcount was avoided because of this internal reshuffling of the team. So if we can see this otherwise, sir, like you are sitting at the helm of the affairs. At the ground level, recently I had visited one of the branch, Bank of India, like, so I could see that that how many staff were there and what kind of service I was there, and I literally I have to beg it. So I'm not going to this detail. I'm only requesting that in the PPT, if you could kindly include a slide in the next time showing the number of headcount and all our this delivery channels, all this ATM and other point number one, plus how many headcount of new hiring of how many headcount was avoided because of this shifting of this centralizing and so on. So like by this we can see that this is the operational efficiency. Otherwise it becomes a generic statement, sir. This is number one. Hope it's okay.
Reply specifically, we have noted your suggestion. It is a very good suggestion. In the December presentation, analyst presentation, we'll put some one slide specifically on the HR side, the numbers on the HR which we have. As regards the specific allocation to the zones and NBGs, you can directly get in touch with our CGM HR, Mr. Rajesh Ingle. For further details, he will be giving you the specific details of the staff which has been deployed at the zones and the branches and also the zonal offices, NBG offices which are headed by the general managers for further clarity.
Thank you, sir. Let me supplement here. We have also worked in the corporate for so many number of years, and we could see that every year we have to make each department was supposed to make one slide on the operational efficiency, including this point where we have to really crystallize the number and put the number there so that the management can see it. So that's what I'm saying. We do not want a general thing, something in the PPT, but overall, okay, that how many jobs, if suppose our CGM HR would given a circular to all the zonal or zonal offices, branches, everything, that sir, your commentary was fantastic, fabulous, and we really appreciate it. But on the expenses part, I think that what I can share from my own experience, that each branch has to nominate that, okay, that this much service, this much saving we have done in the operational efficiency. And in the bank, the main cost is employee and the rent. Rent is stable, we cannot do much. Employee we cannot fire, but employee we can utilize better. So in terms of that, it has to be translated into numbers, sir. That's my only request. It can take 1 month, 2 month time, but still we have 3 months to go for this our next analyst meet. So if our CGM HR, Mr. Rajesh, can take some proactive action or some result-oriented action, asking, giving the accountability to each branch in terms of that, they have to save this much on, for example, operational efficiency, including employee. So I think this will really help us to reduce our cost or to avoid the new hiring, sir.
Yeah, your point is well taken. So let me just clarify from the bank side again that whatever details what you are saying, these details we already do and make a presentation to our board on a regular basis, on a quarterly basis. Beyond that, we have a strategy meet of the board twice a year. In that also, we make a detailed presentation. Only the thing is that we don't place this to the analyst presentation because of the paucity of the slides, because in one slide, you cannot capture all these things. It needs at least 5 to 10 slides for to understand the entire gamut of the thing. But your point is well taken. We'll try to put some specific slide in the next quarter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Sir, my second question was regarding this income tax rate. So income tax rate, during this previous question, it was clarified that that we have made provision of 1460 DTA reversal we have done in this quarter. So because of that, our tax rate is 50%. It is well understood, sir. We fully agree. But this is not, I think something is still there, because in the Q1 also, our tax rate was 48%. So if I take my half yearly rate is coming in 49%. So then if we have taken DTA full in this quarter, as the note says, so then why our in the Q1, our tax rate was 48%.
So in the Q1 and Q2, see, we had already started making up our mind that we will go for the new tax regime in this financial year. So for that reason, in Q1 also, we had taken a higher tax number. As you rightly calculated, it is around 47% of the pre-tax profit. This quarter, it is nearly 50% of that. So let me further clarify to you, had we not gone to the new tax regime, in this quarter, our profit would have been around 2,150 crore. So since we went to the new tax regime, it has come down to 1,458 crores. Otherwise, we would have shown a profit of around 2,100 crore in this quarter itself.
And sir, this regarding NIM, like a 3% NIM, like overall is fine. But sir, I just noticed one point in our overseas NIM. Sir, in the overseas market, our NIM is currently 0.98, 1.22%. Let me give humble input here. This kind of NIM used to be 2 years before. Like before the like Fed started to increase this repo rate and so on, so or like before our central bank started to rate, but like now since the US Fed has increased the rate to 5% plus and so on, so now sir, like no commercial bank is doing business in 1%, because like we also have some colleague like working overseas who just like give us this kind of our like general discussion that the banks are charging 8% plus there, which was never the rate before, for example. So my second point is that our lower the reason for our main like the reason for our lower NIM is just because of the overseas NIM is only 1.22 during the September quarter. So what action we are taking to increase the NIM of overseas advances?
So 8% NIM, I don't think. See, 8% that may
be. I'm not saying NIM 8%. Sorry, sir. Yeah. I'm not saying 8%. I'm saying 8% they are charging. Interest they are charging.
So we are also charging at healthy rate. But the overall NIM, if you see on the quarter two, is 1.22%. But if you see on a half year basis, it is 1.29%, the overseas NIM. Because as you are already aware, because of the hardening of rates in the international markets and the resources which we are able to raise from the international markets also has gone up. Because of which the NIMs have gone down. It is not a situation for Bank of India alone. It is for other peer banks also. The NIM has gone down substantially in overseas numbers.
Okay, so let me put differently. When, for example, this
LIBOR... Apologies, sir, for interrupting, but for the paucity of time, we will come back to you. We would move to the next participant. Thank you, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Chidamundra. Sir, you may now proceed.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. I have few questions, sir. First is on yield on advances, which has gone up from 8.1 to 8.54, which is like 44 basis point increase, I don't understand, how can the yields move up by 44 basis point in one quarter. So if you can explain.
Yeah, as regards yield on advances, if you see, Jayji, that our yield on advances was 7.21 in September 22, which improved to 8.10 in June 23. And you rightly said it is now 8.54 percent in June, in September 23. And if you see the half year number, it was 6.9 in September half year of 22. It has improved to 8.32 in half year of FY24. So if you see the MCLRs of the bank, our MCLR in September 22, 1 year MCLR was 7.70%. So it has increased to 8.75% as on September 23. So the increase in MCLR rate is 1.05% on a YOY basis. If you see our EBLR rate, which is the repo linked rate, external benchmark, it was only 8.25% in September 22. It is presently, as on 30th September, 9.25. Here also the incremental increase is 100 basis point. So on the MCLR side, 105 basis point. On the this EBLR side is the 100 basis point. So what has happened is the pricing, with the increase in MCLR, the interest rates are also getting repriced on a monthly basis. So what we see in the book presently here is that all our this MCLR linked loan have been now repriced over the last 12 months. So because of which the yields are improving, this is the simple reason that the yield has improved from 8.10 to 8.54%. And some of the low yielding advances which we had done earlier, wherein they were linked to repo rate or very fine rates, which were short term loans, we have shed them. So because of which, if you see that the not only our advance has increased, but also the NIMs have improved. Yield on advances have improved, to be more specific.
Right. But sir, is this only due to loan mix change and MCLR? I mean, what happened in this quarter? You know, MCLR repricing has been happening for the last 4 quarters. And, you know, this quarter we have seen 44 basis point rise.
Yeah, so let me explain further. See, yield on advances, there is another function of the NPA in that. So if you see our fresh NPA, which is happening, which is now coming down, because of which the earning assets are more now with the bank, right? With more earning assets, definitely the yield on advances is going up. If you have more NPAs during the quarter, fresh slippage are more, the earning assets come down and the yield of advances also come down. So that is a simple mathematics which is there. So that is one part. And other part is that if you see the repo rate was on 30th September 22 was 5.9%. Now as on 30th September 23, the repo is 6.50%, wherein the incremental increase is only 60 basis point. And on the MCLR side and on and the EBLR side, our increase has been 100 basis point and 105 basis point respectively. So all these things are helping the bank to maintain the margins, which is the NIMS, improve our net interest income, and finally also the yield on advances is better.
Right. And sir, if I may ask, what is the, you know, recovery from NPA account which could have gone to interest on advances in this quarter? And was that a significant amount versus last quarter?
So I'll ask my CGM recovery if he has that number. Do we have that number? नहीं नहीं यहाँ पे है इसमें है नहीं अदर उसमें अदर इसमें
या रिकवरी 1638 दैट वाज द कैश रिकवरी एंड अपग्रेडेशन एंड टोटल एज वी सॉ 2800 इज द टोटल विद द हेल्प ऑफ द रिजल्टेंट राइट ऑफ सो दैट हेल्प्ड अस एंड प्रेजेंटली एट as at September 23.
No, Sinha ji, this the question was regarding the recovery in return off, na? So what we have taken it to the PNL. So recovery in return off is 560 crores. How much? Aap bata do. So our CFO will answer the in more detail.
Sure, sure, sir.
Hello, Mr. Jayamudra, this total recovery return of account is 599 crore, out of which 560 crore has come in cash recovery and balance 39 crore has come into way of interest income.
Okay, so only 39 crore has gone in NII, right? So that is not a significant amount.
Yes.
Okay. So, and say you believe that this kind of a yield uptick that we saw, at least some part should flow through in coming quarters, or... that may not be the case going ahead.
So yield on advances, so you are asking specifically about yield on advances?
Yes, 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 sir.
So it will be maintained. We will maintaining the yield on advances, no?
Okay. And sir, just
a see, rate of interest is going up only, no? So MCLR, this month also we increased the MCLR by 5 basis point. So now our 1 year MCLR is 8.75%.
Right.
So it is on the increasing trend. See, when the cost of, see, RBI formula is very simple on the MCLR calculation. When the this marginal cost of lending increases, when the marginal cost of funds increases, our cost of deposit is going up on a month-on-month basis, because of which the MCLR will also increase. So we are passing it on, the transmission is happening. So definitely we'll be able to protect our yield on advances.
Right. Okay. And sir, what is the bank's policy in terms of NPA recovery? So first it gets to other income in terms of fee, NII, and then principal, or what is the waterfall for NPA recovery? I mean,
so
between
that is for RBI circular only.
So should I answer?
Yeah.
Karthikeyan here, Jaydi. If the first when the recovery comes, it goes to the other charges, all the charges of the fees of lawyers and other charges for recovery, and then only it goes into the principal. We have put in place a system driven.
And NII is the third line, or this comes between other charges and principal.
Interest. Which one? Second line.
Second? Which is the second one?
Interest.
Interest is second line.
Charges, interest, and then
principal.
Okay. Understood, sir. Okay. And sir, then I have question on your divergent portfolio last year that we had. Some, you know, four accounts were doing reasonably well and we had a decent provisions there. If you can update what is the exposure now and, you know, what is the provisions that we are holding on to those four accounts and, you know, what can we expect in the rest of the financial year?
Yeah, so our CFO will be responding to that, Kumar.
I will request you refer to our notes to account of number 12, where we are given what is our position held in our 7-6-2019 circular, where we clearly mentioned that what are the additional provision kept. And last time also, we got a divergence only on account of this 7-6-2019 only, where we kept additional standard asset provisioning. So this particular thing, wherever it is as per the circular, certain accounts are reversed and certain accounts are kept in the same manner. Accordingly, we clearly mentioned that as of now, we hold the provisioning of 2,438.94 crore. And this current quarter, we have added 302.3 crore in respect of 23 crore of accounts. So this is the present status. It clearly mentioned your notes to account of number 12, sir.
Understood, understood. Thank you. And sir, if you can give the total SMA, right, for the book, for the bank, including below 5 crore accounts also, we earlier used to give, but if you can give for September month SMA 0, SMA 1 and SMA 2 for the all bank, including below 5 crores.
Okay, we'll share it separately with you.
Sure, sure. And last question, sir, is we earlier had a guidance of 30% growth in operating earnings. So we are doing reasonably well on NIMS. Growth has picked up. But at the same time, OPEX cost has also gone up a little bit and probably it will remain elevated. So are you comfortable in still maintaining 30% YOY growth on operating profit? That would mean mathematically, you know, that we had 13,000 crores of PPOP last year. And we are at 3,800 crore run rate, which would mean that the run rate will go up to 5,000 crores. I mean, does that look realistic at this point of time?
No, considering the fact that cost of deposits is going up, definitely the operating profit is under pressure for all the banks, not only for Bank of India. So the operating profit for financial year 23 was 34%, and for Q2 it was around 35%. But overall for the financial year, the operating profit guidance we are giving at 13-15%.
Okay, understood, sir. So that is most of my questions have been answered, sir. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jay.
Now we have Ashok Ajmera next. Unmuting you, sir. Kindly unmute and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you for giving this opportunity again. I have a couple of some questions and some data points. Sir, we have touched upon that revision in the family pension and wage revision. So in case of wage revision, our total provision, including of this quarter, is 643 crores so far. And you said about 15% will be this thing. So what will be the balance amount, estimated balance liability on this account of wage revision?
So around 100 and some crores is left out of that, no?
How much, sir?
Final liability.
Final liability. So CFO is clarifying it.
Sir, actually, this particular provisioning is it comes into effect only from first. Now you kindly refer to notes to accounts point number 9. Point number 9, we clearly mentioned that the proposed bipartite agreement on the wage revision, which effect from 1st November 2022, bank has made an estimated provision. It is only an estimated basis. Every quarter till that wage revision effect happens, that settlement happens, we are estimating on a quarterly basis and we are keeping this provisioning accordingly from first number 22, where this wage revision falls to, we are started keeping provisioning. But as on 30th September 2023, we are holding around 643 crore provision in our books. For the exactly for this particular quarter, if you ask us, we have kept 189 crore provisioning for 30th September. So this will continue till the wage provision, this settlement happens. Once the settlement happens, we will stop keeping this provision. We are estimating on a 15% basis.
Sir, that 15% is okay, sir. Basis we are working, sir. That is okay. I have also read the note number 9. Yeah, so I just wanted that whether this trend of 189 crore, 190 crore per quarter will continue till you say that the final decision will be taken, isn't it?
Yes, correct. Yes. Correct, sir.
Yes. So, Ashokji, this wage revision talks are already on. So, till the time they get concluded and a final number is arrived, we will be continuing to make this provision on a Q-on-Q basis.
Yes, sir. Point well taken, sir. This resolution of stressed assets, note number 12, total amount, outstanding amount is 7,304 crores and domestic, and the provision is 824 crore, I think. So, any idea that approximately how much is actually, this may be provision as per the IREC or this thing, but how much amount generally as per our experience gets slipped from the stressed assets?
Yeah, so our CGM recovery will be clarified.
Yes. How much will
number is there? Sir, I'll respond. Sir, actually this 7-6-2019 circular is only an requirement of about 1,500 crore above only, sir. It's only a provision we kept it whenever resolutions happens, doesn't happen this one only. Here hardly, if you are having it 100% of the cases doesn't slip. Hardly if it happens, one or two cases it slips. Because these are all kept provision only because of resolutions are not happening. The day once a day, it gets into slip also. So that way, this particular account slipping into the NPA category, and because of that, I have to keep provisioning is very rare scenario. But however, if it happens, also it happens on 1 or 2%.
So, Ajmera ji, let me further supplement what our CFO has said. This 7 June 19 circular, we have to provide based on the industry RBI guidelines, right? And these accounts are not sole banking accounts, these are all industry accounts. Wherein yes. Other lenders are there, typically public sector and private sector lenders are there. Only when the SMA appears in the CRILC report, do we have to make a provision and go through that ICA process and all other things. So normally what happens is the waiting period is 180 days as per RBI guidelines. If in these 180 days, no resolution is required by way of restructuring or anything, and the automatic cure takes place in these 180 days, then bank with the understanding with the central auditors, we are able to reverse this provision. So this provision keeps on coming in the books of the bank at the end of the quarter. So some accounts come into that provision and some accounts go out of that provision. So this is a regular exercise which goes on quarter basis in all the bank's balance sheets.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Sri Rajneesh Karnatak, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you, Kajal, for everything. And thank you to all the analysts who have joined today for their good questions. And hope we have responded them. And further, if any clarification is required, we are open to that. You can give your query by mail or through phone call. We will be responding to those queries. Thank you so much. And wishing you all a very happy Diwali.
Thank you, sir, for the insights. Also, on behalf of Bank of India, I announce that this conference concludes. Thank you for joining us.